1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alma Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Artificial intelligence could be used to meddle in this year's elections. As Eric Tegedoff reports, it could cause voters to mistrust all information, even the truth.
Before the New Hampshire primary, a robocall imitating President Joe Biden called voters and told them not to vote. It's seen as a potential preview of what voters could be in for as the 2024 general election approaches. Rachel Ori is the Senior Associate Director of the Bipartisan Policy Center's Elections Project. She says AI could have other consequences.
Our bigger concern is what's known as a liar's dividend, that the presence of false information makes voters trust any information less.
Ori says the past few years have seen a near constant assault on accurate voting information, which has made it challenging for good information to reach voters. Ori says AI could supercharge the misinformation campaigns that have existed for years. However, election officials across the country have a leg up going into the 2024 vote.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
Ori says election officials should have a plan ready to respond to AI misinformation campaigns. She says there likely aren't any regulatory options available at the moment to stop these operations.
Technology is maybe growing faster than the regulatory tools we have available. So at present, it seems difficult to find a policy that the government could adopt and make these robocalls impossible.
Ori says another concern is targeted campaigns that use a voter's personal information to persuade them not to vote, although there aren't any documented instances of this happening yet. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show, just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to 2.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 28. 42, the high on Tuesday with mostly sunny skies. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 45. 47 Tuesday and near 50 Wednesday. That's weather on WMDX.
Right now, it's 37.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Madtown? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. It is the show where we discuss politics and families and everything else that's occurring in our world. Today, I have a co-host. I know you guys missed me last week. Last week, we were supposed to have part two of our discussion on gentle parenting and just the toughness of it all and the challenges, the advantages, the disadvantages, the challenges. And it was just really based on my opinion. So don't take anything I said 2 weeks ago to the bank, because I'm sure psychologists would probably disagree. So anyway, I have a co-guest today, co-host guest, Kenan Atkinson, superstar, one of the best wellness coaches I know throughout Wisconsin. She owns Rugi Wellness, right? Rugi Wellness. And I thought it'd be a perfect show to bring her on and ask her to be my guest, because she does a lot of, you have a lot of conversations around healthy parenting, boundaries with your kids, self-care, health, relationships. You share a lot. And after I read a couple of your posts on Facebook, I was like, I don't know why I didn't bring you in the last two discussions, because the one before gentle parenting we was talking about, it was like a couple of weeks, and I had Tara on, and we talked about Black men, loving Black men, and we needed a part two to that. So I was like, we're just going to make today a part two day instead of coming up with different topics. So here we are. So welcome. You're listening to me, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You guys should call us and join the conversation. It's always better when we have our, you know, audience call in. The phone number is 608-879-8255. Now, Kina, tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to tell us, and then we'll go into our topic of gentle parenting.
Okay, I'll keep it short then, because I know we got a lot to talk about. But I'm a wellness professional, like everything that you said, Brandi. I love the topics of parenting, of wellness in a very holistic way that encompasses more than just exercise in the gym and just yoga and dance. I know that everybody knows me for those things, because that's where I started. Mm-hmm. But I've expanded into so many more and so much more. And so, you know, the things that I typically cover is dance, yoga, breath work, mindful meditation, nutrition, hormonal balance, parenting, self-love, self-care,
everything.
Confidence, esteem, all of that.
All the stuff that make you, all the things that we should do, she coach on. How to eat better, how to, you know, get away from meat, how to breathe, how to do yoga, how to stretch, how to build your muscles, how to look better, how to be better, all that stuff, that's her in the box. You should just write a book.
I will.
And is. So one of the topics we were talking about was gentle parenting. So I took a stance on gentle parenting, and I said, you know, gentle parenting isn't working, right? And I also... you know, put some context in there and was like, you know, I'm also not a consistent parent with my son. And I think it's because as a business owner and someone who's always on the run, to actually practice gentle parenting in the way that it's meant to be practiced, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, like a lot of intentionality as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm very good at it. So for me, it was like, you know, screw gentle parenting. And because my kid is a loving boy, okay? But he is rambunctious, and he has been having some interesting experiences, to say the least. So give us your take on gentle parenting. Like, what are your thoughts around it? Start wherever you want.
So for one, I think that when you So one of the things is the language, right? And so when we call it gentle parenting, then that kind of puts it into, I feel like, a box or a category of like, well, people who know about or think about gentle parenting or whatever literature or descriptions is out there. Mm-hmm. The way I think about it is like, you know how people have the natural hair movement and whatever their rules are about, if you're natural, if this, right?
Yeah.
Or vegan or pescatarian or vegetarian, like all of those rules. Oh, if you're vegan, you don't eat honey. And, you know,
you mean you could be a gentle parent and then slap your kid?
What I mean is that it's more about what you said earlier, the intentionality. So you don't even have to call it gentle, but I think intentional parenting is much more of what we're going for, what I'm going for, what I understand that you're going for, and many other people. I think that it's about just being intentional about the way that you're
communicating
and cultivating your child.
Yeah.
It's like like gardening. It's like there's many ways to do it, but you just gotta be intentional.
I guess, you know, I get it. You know, I also said it should be intentional, right? Mm-hmm. So I agree. I totally agree. And sometimes I ain't got time for all of this. Just do what I said, because we're like, I'm literally got 2 seconds left, right?
Mm-hmm. But I understand the do what I said. And I had to really, when my older son, before Caleb was born, was when I had to so this was like 2012, right? When I first started to ask myself if the way that I was raised made sense to the way I was raising my children.
Yeah.
And so when you say it, but I ain't got time for all that explaining and do as I said. And really that's like, you know, of course it's patience and control, right? And so of course it takes time to get their buy-in. We have to do it by way of their communication and shaping their intrinsic understanding, right? Because we don't, at the end of the day, these are things we struggle with today, but it's an investment, because in 20 years.
It is an investment, but you know, I ain't got time for it today.
But you do.
I mean,
do you have time for you?
Yes and no.
Yeah. So. Right. I get that too.
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
So part of it is like, yes, I agree. And when we conceptualize thoughts and ideas and theories, it's like, that sounds real good and that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the application of, you know, deliberately walking in a way where you're talking in a certain... So the one thing I think my biggest challenge is, it's not the intentionality on communicating with my kid, because I'm a pretty straight shooter. My challenge is this, this, I'm very much so who I am in all relationships, whether it's with my children, whether it's with my partner, if it's with my staff, which is probably one of my challenges, right? Because I am matter of fact, I'm straight to the point. There's no sugarcoating. It's like, I need you to go do this and do it now. Or I'm like, hey, Messiah, can you go pick up your room, clean up your room? Yeah, mom, I could do it. But you didn't ask me exactly to clean up my room. What you said to me was go pick up. And I'm like, what, boy? And the thing about it is they get so smart that they know how to triangulate you.
But are they? So here's the thing.
Yes, like,
and
they
I was
are.
Last week I was
they
listening.
Are. Are.
I listened and you was like, I don't want my child to be manipulative and triangulating. And here's the thing. I always have to remind myself that my child is not, you know, has no intentions or goals of manipulating, even though it feels like it.
It might not be an intention, but it's happening.
Here's what it is. What I think what it is is that they are still shaping their understanding of rules and trying to understand, and everything is very technical with them.
I will agree, and I would add that my son is smarter than that.
He is smart, and of course, and so then it's like accountability is the second part to it, right? So if he's like, well, you didn't, okay, well, you know, then it becomes a conversation. But again, it's the buy-in that you have, that you're cultivating.
Yeah, the buy-in of, yes, I did say that, and you understood what I meant, didn't you? And he's usually like, yeah, but you didn't say that.
So then you might make agreements with him then, right? Like, okay, so if you know exactly what I'm saying, what is you might ask him like, so what is your goal when you're trying to have me say it this exact way when you know exactly what I'm saying?
Okay, well, let's bring Tiffany on, because we finally got us a caller, so we're gonna bring Tiffany in.
Hey.
Tiffany, you tell us what your thoughts is around gentle parenting, because I mean, I hear what Keenan's saying, I hear you, and I just, there's something about like going back and forth with my kids sometimes where I'm like, this is some bull crap. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Okay, so prime example today, when Keenan was was at the house, and her youngster was really adamant about something that happened on his computer. And Kina was really firm on not going back and forth with him. But I was going back and forth with him, and I feel as if, you know, it's okay that they have an opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to learn through communication that, or through communication and growth and talking to Kina, that, like, when your kids are, like, challenging you, it's not that they're trying to get over on you, but they're trying to find a way to communicate with you. Because me, as a mom, I am strong-hearted. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my, like what you say, Brandy, like, what I say goes. But I've learned from my history with my mom that, like, I couldn't really communicate well, and that probably trickled into how I am parenting now. And so I've had other feedbacks let me know that you need to sit back and listen to your kid.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And them talking to you, or, like, going back and forth with you isn't really trying to, like, test you, but they're trying to find a way to get in and communicate.
Yeah.
And I've had to sit back a few times to hear that, and then turn, like, especially with my oldest, when I have to go back and, like, talk to him, like, I hear you, I understand, I'm sorry. Sometimes it takes me a second. Like, sometimes I don't hear right then and there when I'm going back and forth with him, because I'm the adult. That's how I feel, right?
Yeah.
And I sit back and I'm like, you know what? He was actually trying to talk to me. So
and
then I go back and communicate with him, like, you know, I hear you, I'm sorry.
And
you
I'm
know,
down
let's,
for that.
Let's come
I
up
think.
With a timeout word.
Yeah, I'm so down for that. I mean, that's how I communicate with Messiah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will hear us in conversation, be like, y'all talk like
grown-ups.
That's right. Because that's the conversation, mm-hmm. like, I engage him mm-hmm. like that. Because I also mm-hmm. know, like, you're so it's that too, like, yes, he's not challenging me, but mm-hmm. and he is, and I think both of those things can exist.
Yeah.
I think given the fact of who I am as a parent and his dad, oh uh-huh. yes, he's challenging.
So do you not like to be challenged?
I hate to be challenged by a little kid.
Okay.
Because I do too,
but when are they old enough for you to be challenging you?
I mean,
when
obviously right now. Obviously, right. Because I'm not in jail. I haven't committed right. no child abuse.
Right.
So obviously.
Yeah. So it's reframing, like, your perspective on what is child's
right.
place.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, that's old school yeah. what we thought when we, you know, we used to think, like, you know, stay in a kid's place. You know, you can't yep. talk back to us. But the times are different, and we are teaching our kids how to be more independent and be stronger and things like that. So we need to respect them in terms of being, like, the individual that they are.
I guess. And I'm just saying we need a balance. We need a balance of respect.
Balance.
Look, we need a balance of them respecting us and us respecting them. Mm-hmm. And because this, it doesn't translate into their everyday life either. And I think that's the biggest problem, because mm-hmm. now my son at school, like, what you mean? I could tell my mama, I could talk to my mama, I could tell my mama this ain't working, and y'all telling me I can't be like this?
Yes.
It is not working out for him.
Yeah.
So I would, right. I'm not.
Okay, y'all.
Okay, Tiffany. Okay, Tiffany. Thanks for calling in. So anybody who's just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Convergence Show with Brandy Grayson on 92.7 FM. The radio show where we talk about politics and families and all kind of stuff. So on this podcast day or radio day, we're talking about gentle parenting. And then we're going to get into the conversation a little bit later about loving Black men. This is all part two, and it's all politics and opinions. But we'll be back in a second, because our sponsors need to tell their story. Amen.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Convergence Show. You are listening to 92.7 FM. You should call in. You should talk to me at 608-879-8255. I have my guest co-host today, Kenan Atkinson with the mostest. I don't know why I said that, but she is our wellness coach. Today, we're talking about gentle parenting, and then we're going to transition into loving Black men, because for Black women, those are our big political things.
Hey, all right.
So before we went to break, I made a statement that one of the biggest challenges of gentle parenting is allowing our children to, I guess allowing is the best word for now, but holding space for our kids to talk back and challenge the things that we say or question us in a way that sometimes is uncomfortable as parents, especially parents who come from the old school rearing where our parents, like, you were to be seen and I heard, you ain't to share anything, you know, that kind of way of being. And I was saying that I allow my son to, you know, question everything. He really does question me about everything. And sometimes it's really hard to hold that space. And then he goes to school and he does the same thing and it's not working out for him. So I wanted you to comment on that, about school and that whole transition and all that good stuff.
So what I would say is, for me, how I handle with my boys is, well, my youngest, is I tell the teacher at the beginning of the school year, I'd like to go and meet his teacher. And I love to tell her, here's a little bit about my son, Caleb. Mm-hmm. Here is how you're not going to get him to buy in.
Yeah, me too.
And here's the best way to communicate with him. Mm-hmm. He is very curious. He loves to ask questions because he loves to understand.
Yeah.
And so, yes, Caleb raises his hand every time that the teacher says something and mm-hmm. he really wants to know. And I explained that he is 9 years old and he really, and I'm so proud to say this, but it also is work. Mm-hmm. He knows that his voice matters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's just reframing it to be like, yeah, my son talk a lot and he is always going to interrupt. Reframing it into a way that is empowering him and advocating for him. That's what I'd be doing with the teacher.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we do all of that. That don't matter. I mean, my son, look.
And they need the
teacher's girl. When he want to get up and move around in his class in the middle of reading, guess what he going to do?
He going to move
get
around.
Get up and move around. If
and
he wants
okay.
to do math instead of reading, guess what he going to do?
I don't know, but
right, is that?
But what
he gonna do?
I think
math.
It's okay to move around. I think it's good that they're learning to listen to their bodies instead of doing whatever everybody else is doing, because everybody learns differently.
Yeah.
And clearly, Messiah is an excellent learner, so he knows how to learn, right?
He does. He
and so if he needs to move around, and also, you know, like Montessori style teaching, it is more so we go with the flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not in a Montessori school, then okay, I understand that they have a certain structure,
mm-hmm.
but then it's like, how can I tell the teacher we're partners in this,
mm-hmm.
but I am Caleb's number one. I'm his advocate.
Absolutely. I
mean, and so
me and his dad spend a lot of time
advocating
at school.
Yeah.
Advocating, girl. Okay. So, and he also, let's just say, because he's the only kid, right? So he ain't the only kid, but I mean, he's seven.
But generationally, he's the only one in his.
He's the only kid. So he is, you know, he's been homeschooled most of his life. His first year in school, and in he goes to a private school, but his first year in school. So he has a hard time with a lot of things. Like, and I don't know if microaggressions
uh-huh.
that's coming towards him, or if a balance of that and like not just needing time and practice to socialize, knowing how to share, knowing how to play with other kids, knowing how to. And the challenge of my son though is he goes from 0 to 100 real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if he's playing football or something and you do something to him that he doesn't like, oh, it ain't no.
But that's also development.
Talking, right.
It's developmental.
Yeah.
Socialization,
mm-hmm.
brain development, and language, right? So, like, even to be like, okay, I noticed that, because one time Caleb was like, oh, I just felt rage. All right, so when you feel rage, how would you like to, let's mm-hmm. plan in advance so that you're resourced in advance
we do.
To practice. And so it's some of it is development. And listen, it comes.
Yeah.
And you got to trust the process. Like, I am raising an emotionally intelligent young man who knows how to advocate for himself, mm-hmm. who is resourced and supported and all of those things. And I have to trust that developmentally, that emotional stuff yeah. is going to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I hear all of that. And I agree with you.
It's brain development.
So it's part of like the, for me, it's like the and, right? In the, and yes, that's all true.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's true. I'm, you know, the advocating for your kids, meeting with the parent, the teachers, making sure they understand what works best for him. And Messiah's father and I don't play when it comes to him in school. And I have to say his dad does a really, really good job. And by the way, y'all know, if y'all know anything about me and my baby daddy, oh, I couldn't stand that dude. But he is a great dad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about relationships, but that man is a great dad. And he does a great job advocating for his son and showing up for his son. And still, there's moments where I'm just like, what am I supposed to do right now? Right? Like, when I've had to ask you like 5 times to do something, right? Like, hey, Messiah, turn off the TV. It's time.
And so consequences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so with Kayla, everything is consequences and accountability.
Right.
Right? So if I say, hey, son, I think you should set a timer because your bedtime is coming up. And if you are on your tablet after 8:30, I'm going to have to take some of your time tomorrow.
Right.
Well, no, I don't want to set a timer. All right. Well, if you don't want to set a timer, that's your choice.
Right.
Right. And I'm going to respect that. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, though. If you don't get off.
Yeah.
Then only thing I'm going to do is what I said I was going to do, which is you're not going to take your tablet tomorrow.
Right.
I didn't do that to you. You did that to yourself.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So consequences, clear consequences.
Oh, my God. You're
and
so
that
right.
preemptive, mm-hmm. that preemptive setting him up properly for his expectations, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, all right, listen, you know that bedtime is at this time. Follow through, because if you don't, here is the consequence that naturally follows that.
Yep.
If you waste my time, I'm going to waste yours. I'm going to take some of yours.
So what I hear you saying is gentle parenting isn't gentle in the sense of the word. Gentle parenting is setting boundaries, setting expectations, and enforcing accountability, which has to be consistent.
I'm saying let's let go of the term gentle parenting, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Let's perhaps frame it as being intentional about raising a type of human that you like when he's grown.
Shoot.
Or a human that you're proud to say that you raised.
Yeah.
Right? And that, mm-hmm. that contributes to the world in a certain way that you agree with, hopefully.
That sounds so good. Don't that sound good, y'all? I know y'all listen like, yeah, I want to be just like that when I grow up. This is my third or fourth child, and I'm still trying to be just like that. So I'm going to encourage the parents that are listening, and you're tuned into the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM, to be gentle with yourself, because parenting is not an easy thing, and there's no manual, and there really isn't. In a right or wrong way, because you can follow all these steps and your kid could still grow up not to be the perfect person that you thought you wanted them to be, or follow a certain trajectory. Because my older kids, who are 29 and 28 and 24, I was no gentle parenting or intentional parenting. Mm-mm. I just was a straight, like, do what I said and do it now. They turned out pretty good.
Mine too. Look, mine too.
They good. They might have to do some therapy, though, because... part of that kind of parenting is that you don't allow space for them to be or feel.
Mm-hmm.
So now they have to unpack that as they get older, right? So, and I had to be intentional and even getting into conversations with my adult children mm-hmm. about how screwed I was mm-hmm. as a parent.
And making amends.
And making amends.
Owning that. And I did that when my son was 12.
Absolutely.
I used to whoop.
I used to beat the crap out of my kids, okay?
You know?
But we ain't doing parents no more, obviously, because my son is looking at me like, but mom, this is him. Mm-hmm. Mom, what you said was, and you did this. And all I could do is sit there and look at him and be like, yes, I did. Mm-hmm. So anyway, y'all, so... I really appreciate you, Keenan, because you really gave examples, tools, you know, kind of like this practice of skills and communication that we all need. So again, you guys are tuning in to 92.7 FM, your girl Brandy Grayson on the Black Convergence Show, where we talk about families and politics. We're going to go ahead and let our sponsors speak again. Stay tuned. We'll be back in like 20 minutes. I'm just kidding. Stay tuned.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
Southern California is preparing for potentially life-threatening flooding and mudslides. Up to a foot of rain is possible in some areas. 40 million people are under a flood watch. Some areas have already seen flooding from the first wave of storms, like Seal Beach, where Art Steedle says,
I'm definitely going to go get my sandbags. I'm not a big guy on sandbagging. I thought we were protected here, but guess what? I was wrong.
President Biden's flying to Southern California today. He's also on the primary ballot in South Carolina. The U.S. could continue strikes on targets in the Middle East. They began with manned and unmanned strikes on more than 80 targets in Syria and Iraq, retaliating for last week's drone attack that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan. A bipartisan group of senators say they have a deal in place on a border bill that would include aid for Ukraine and Israel, but it's not clear if this bill would have enough support to pass the House. This is ABC News.
The Brewers mega trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers traded their ace pitcher, Corbin Burns, Thursday night to the Baltimore Orioles for two players and a pick in the upcoming draft. The veteran pitcher was still upset after a team rep in a salary arbitration hearing last year claimed that Burns was the reason the team didn't reach the playoffs in 2022.
You know, it's tough to hear, it's tough to take, but, you know, they're trying to do what they can to win a hearing. But I think there was obviously other ways that they could have gone about it.
Nevertheless, he recently signed an extension with the crew through this year. So why trade him to Baltimore? General Manager Matt Arnold.
Look, anytime you trade a guy like Corbin, it's always a difficult decision. I think the overarching theme here is that we're excited about the players we're getting back. And the reality of our situation is that we had 1 year left with Corbin. I think Corbin had been pretty public about how this was going to be his last year as a Brewer.
That's the Brewers' Matt Arnold. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low near 28. 42, the high on Tuesday with mostly sunny skies. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 45. 47 Tuesday and near 50 Wednesday. That's weather on WMDX.
Right now, it's 37.
If you're craving the authentic flavors of Mexico, the place to be in Madison is Casa Fiesta. With over two decades of culinary expertise, their passionate chef is ready to tantalize your taste buds, and their friendly staff ensures a fantastic dining experience. Plus, get your sing on with Mexican and American karaoke every Friday and Saturday nights. Casa Fiesta opens 7 days a week at 7005 Tree Lane in Madison. Call 608-203-5998. Casa Fiesta, where good times and great food come together.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, November 4th. It's Christmas around the River District on 1st and 3rd Ave in Wausau. Visit the local stores in the district. Bring your family and friends, and you can win prizes and other goodies. But you have to stop in all the stores and register. Be sure to stop at Bueller Cycle and Fitness and take a look at their holiday deals. They are located at 215 South 3rd Avenue in Wausau. Locally owned and opening worlds of adventure and fitness since 1926.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a choice anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all, you are back listening to your girl, the one that you love, that y'all all love, Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM with my co-host, Kina. And we are talking about gentle parenting, but we're going to transition because today is what I'm titling part two of the things that everybody wanted to hear again. So this is our second week talking about gentle parenting, and we got so much input that I just had to bring it back. And she is like the professional of gentle parenting. But as Kina said, we should stop calling it gentle parenting and call it intentional parenting. And everything she said today, I totally agree with her on 100%. So we want to transition now into another topic that's really important to people known as Black and Black women, specifically from parenting and being in relationships. Now, this is not for all women, right? Because everyone's not cis or they don't necessarily date people who identify as male, but for the folks who do, this conversation is for you. Mm-hmm. And the folks who do date male, that ain't women either, you know?
Right.
And one of the things that we talked about a couple weeks ago was the loving Black men, and it was Tara who was on the show as my co-guest, and a lot of her work is grounded and founded in providing and holding space for Black men, because as she's put it, there's not a lot of space where they can feel and be honest and be authentic and deal with and unpack their own trauma. And as a lot of our listeners know on Facebook and otherwise, when we talk about people known as Black, we come from and come with 9 times out of 10, this is not absolute, right? This is just a general statement. 9 times out of 10, we come with a lot of trauma from that's historical trauma that's passed down through generations. And then just like the aggressive and authoritarian parenting that we were talking about, that's where we come from, right? And that was passed down. So now we're in a place where we're trying to do something different. And even that is challenging because we get triggered or we have these other frameworks or scripts or stories about how things should work or how our children should be. So now in 2024, we are trying to figure out, forget it. I almost said the F word. No cussing. We're live. Okay. So we're trying to figure out what is the best way to love Black men, right? And the challenges of loving Black men. And I also thought you would be a perfect person for the conversation because you put something on your Facebook the other day about second chances and trust. Uh-huh. So I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about there. Share a little bit about what you posted and what that, because I'm assuming you were talking about a Black man.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was.
Okay.
So basically that post that I wrote about was when I was seeing someone, we broke up, I gave them a second chance, and in that time apart, in the time when we rekindled, you know, we were having a random conversation, and he was just like, and I was like telling him about a time when I didn't trust myself. I was like, and I just didn't trust myself. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, what do you trust yourself now? I was about to try to do his voice, and
don't do it.
Okay. Okay. And he asked me, do I trust myself now? And I said, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. And then he went on to play me left, right, up and down and around. Mm. And so then I had to prove to him that I did trust myself, and I had to let him go. Even though letting him go
was hard.
It was hard. It broke my heart. Okay.
Yeah.
And I never thought that I was going to get past it. Like, I mean, how significant this person was to me.
Yeah.
I never thought that there would be an end.
Yeah.
But it was, and it was necessary, and it was important to him. And when I did, after I got done blocking him on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram,
Snapchat,
Cash App, on every app, including my phone and email, from every way possible. And after I got done alerting my friends and family, I was like, wow, I really do love myself like I said I do. I really do rock with myself like I do. Oh, and I also blocked all his associates and acquaintances as well, just to be safe, like no love lost, but for my well-being.
Well, your well-being. So part of this is like the trauma. So getting back to the trauma, one part is a lot of times folks like you and I say folks, I'm just going to put you in the box with me, okay? Because I my assumption of you is that you're empathetic, caring, loving, and sometimes naive when it comes to, or have been naive when it comes to loving a man.
Yeah, the perfect suspect to be groomed and manipulated by a narcissist.
Yes, that's me. That's me too. Okay, so I knew I didn't get it wrong. Okay,
I'm the perfect suspect.
Right, me too. You're not alone. Okay, so part of that is like we get suckered in because we also want to be the healer. Let me help you figure this out.
Let me understand. Let me not let you down like all the other women did in your life.
Let me down like the. Oh my God, that's a perfect way to
right?
say it.
So that's the story, at least.
That is the story in your head, right?
That they told us.
That is true. That is the story.
That the women that everybody abandoned them, except, and so I don't want to be the one to abandon you because I am a loving person and I am understanding and compassionate.
Oh my God, yeah. Are you in my head? Okay, so. So part of it is like, even when you're in this relationship, so there's one part that came up where you're like, okay, I can no longer trust this. So I'm not going to do this thing. So I'm going to let it go. Mm-hmm. But then something happened. Mm-hmm. Like, so there must have been something that you were missing, that you were receiving or felt like you needed from this person, that you felt the need to give them a second chance. What is that? And I want to call that the joy of loving Black men.
I know exactly what it was.
Okay.
Because I understand the framework of narcissistic tendencies. Manipulation. Okay. So what it was hoovering.
Oh, tell me some more about it.
So what happened was it got to a point before that when I had to make it clear, like, mm-hmm. listen, I desire, deserve, and require A, B, and C, uh-huh. right? And then the person, they was like, oh, I'm so, it's hurting me that I'm hurting you, right? Okay.
Oh my
so
God.
I had to
is
let them go.
Is that like in a book?
No, this is what the person said.
No, I'm saying, like, but do they get it from a book?
Because I think they might. Because
I'm hurt because I'm hurting you.
I'm hurt. It's hurting me that I'm hurting you. And so it ended. I had to let it go. Mm-hmm. I had to let it go.
Right.
All right. On Valentine's Day. Mm. And so then later down the line, now I know these things. Mm-hmm. I should have ended all communication and contact, but I didn't know, right? I'm thinking we're mutually parting ways, friendly. Mm-hmm. And so later, but they always stayed around. They would still check in periodically and this and that and the other. Mm. And then eventually they had invited me to spend time with them again. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we never had left off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you say, what was missing? Like, I don't know. I know that I always had this longing for that person still.
And what was the joy in that?
When it came back was because the person, everything that I complained about, they did now. Mm. Now they were doing. Mm. So I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, we're back, right? But it wasn't that. But also, it wasn't that. And during our time apart, I had really spent time with my hurt and pain, and also with my requirements and deservingness and desires, right?
Yeah.
Require, desire, deserve. I spent so much time with those things and mm-hmm. really understood me. Mm. And so I really, like, since I spent that time apart, the codependency and all of those things, I wasn't resonating with anymore.
Wasn't aware. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't resonate with anymore because I really, like, spent time with Kina and learned to love and be company with me and enjoy my company. I romanticized and dated myself.
Mm. Again, you guys are listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Convergence Show, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, with my co-host, Kina. And we are talking about the joy and terror of dating. And I just put Black men in here, but it could be all men, any men, short, tall, Black, brown, women, well, whoever. But I just say Black because I'm Black, and then it's just like the Black experience and perspective. Okay, I interrupted you, but I just want the people who were just tuning in. You can also join the conversation at 608-879-8255, 608-879-8255. Okay, back to what you were saying.
So I was just saying that during that time apart, it was a blessing because I really got to learn Kina mm-hmm. with distraction-free and what is the word when you dependency free and distraction free? Like I did not have there was nothing for me to reach for instead like in that you know like how people reach for drugs or alcohol or men. I didn't have any of those.
And that happens a lot in relationships, and especially from people who come from traumatic backgrounds, right? I don't know your background, but I'm gonna assume that there was some trauma there, because it appears to me that women who have traumatic backgrounds, whether it's abandonment issues or other issues that occur in their life, we become very susceptible to narcissists. Like it's like you said, it's something in us that want to fix things and not be the other women that did them wrong. And then we bring it into the relationship and it almost become, you use the word codependent. We become codependent on what though? When most, 9 times out of 10, we're the bosses in the relationship.
So I'll say this. One thing that I remember that I was thinking to myself when I was in relationship with this man, I remember I looked at him and I was thinking and admiring him one day and I was like, he treats me the way that I wish my father would have treated me. Like he did everything and showed up in every way that I wish my dad would have. Right?
Yeah.
And so in that time, and so, you know, like when I realized that, like he's like the perfect father to me. Right?
Man, y'all listen
so
to this.
So it filled
I
in
hope y'all listen
that
to
gap.
This. Okay. If you got, oh my God. Look, I just want to turn the camera to you.
Woo, I'm not crying, but I think in a different time I would have cried.
Oh my God.
That.
So and you we have this tendency to date dudes or attract people or get on the same frequency of people who feel voids from childhood and mimics it.
And I tend to attract the type of men. I notice that I attract the type of men. So you know, like I was very happy having somebody in my life who represented what I felt like I what I missed out on as a father.
Yeah.
And then I also noticed that I frequently attract men whose mama let them down.
Yeah. Me
and then
too.
I noticed I thought about it and I was like, how am I? I'm attracting these men. They're attracted to me. They're very they love like a lot of what the qualities that I have as a mother.
Yeah.
Right? They admire my parenting. But then they also punish me
for that.
For what their mama didn't do.
That's real.
You know?
That's real. And is that just narcissist in men? Because I feel like that's a lot of men.
I think that it's
just
it's,
attributes of patriarchy.
I don't think
misogyny.
It's narcissism, but because I think it could be anything and anybody whose mama let them down.
So but in our culture.
And it is racism too.
And racism.
Because the you look at the systems that affected either our moms or our dads
fathers.
Not being there in the generation before us.
Yep.
The war on drugs was started in our parents' generation. Foster care, children's getting taken out of the house in that time.
Just so people who are unaware, the war on drugs literally removed men from our communities, right?
In two ways.
And they also removed mothers because the mothers became crack addicted, right? Men became, they got on the street and started selling it. They were arrested and some of them became
drug addicts,
right? And then during that time period, that's when the torch should have been passed to the next generation. So in our days, back in the 80s, 70s, I don't know how old y'all is, but back in my days, there was a big mama, there was aunties, there was neighbors, there was community. And when the war on drugs hit hard, it wiped it all out. So when your mama wasn't at home or had to work or do something, your neighbor would watch you. You could stop, you'll go to your neighbor house after school. There was kind of this village and the war on drugs destroyed all of that, right? And mind you, that the war on drugs was the reason drugs were in the black community is because it was the government who needed to fund their war in Russia, right? Or whatever war that is, right? So they needed to get money. So they put drugs on the street. And then from there, they destroyed the black communities. And then the big industrialization of prisons occurred, right? So now they needed to fill
the prisons.
And then that led to this whole thing. So just for some context
so
for y'all.
So it's very systemic and strategic.
Yes, very so.
And so that our generation is the result, is the product, because I think before then, dads was in the house.
What they were at least around.
They was around.
Somewhere.
You know? They was around. We could at least find them.
Yeah.
You know, and my children can't, at least one of my kids can't even access his dad because he's incarcerated.
That's real. Or they're dead.
Yeah.
Or dying. Or just not mentally well. So that brings me back to the joy and terror, right, of loving black men. Because another thing I want to acknowledge is the father thing. Like, for a lot of us, we didn't have fathers. So when you get a man that you think is the one, you know what I mean? They hold you right, they kiss you right, they do all the things that you wanted. Like I wanted a man to, you know, fix things. My thing is with men is less financial, right? Because I feel like I'm good. I don't
acts
need nobody.
Of service.
It's acts of service. I want you to change my tire, go get an oil change, fix the broken bed, do
Me
the
too.
Plumbing, do some stuff around the house. Because having a home and having a mortgage is expensive. But if I can pay you to lay down the floor or do some stuff, I feel really loved. And if you could cook and fold laundry, that's the added thing, right? So I'm feeling all joyful.
Yeah.
But That's the joy.
That's the joy.
And the terror is our history of trauma and drama. So I don't know how many seconds we got left, but I know that we need to take a break. But again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Convergence Show with your girl Brandy and my guest co-host Keena. And we're just out here talking about the politics really of Black womenness, but that's not the topic today, but it's between family and men and trying to like heal. We'll be back. I got like a couple more minutes before the show is over, but we'll be back. Call in 608-879-8255.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure that you'll get your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
And Jackson Hewitt also guarantees the accuracy of your return for life.
Hewitt, yeah!
So don't just sit there. For your biggest refund guaranteed, walk into a Jackson Hewitt today and dance out Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, the hostess with the mostest, me, Brandy Grayson. I'm back on 92.7 FM. You're listening to the Black Convergence Show, and we're really talking about love, loving men with trauma, and specifically the Black men that we usually love. And one of the things I wanted to say is that how do we balance the trauma that we come with, right? Because it's not just Black men that come in a relationship with trauma. Apparently, it's and obviously, too. We do too, right? Wanting someone to fill the void of our daddies that wasn't there, right? And having this imaginary type of story about what a man should be. And definitely not the Black men cannot be what white folks have given us in terms of the framework for manness and masculinity and all of that. So there's all kind of compounding trauma and effects that's occurring in our community, especially in relationships. But we have a caller. I'm sure DJ can give us some different perspective, some male perspective, Black male perspective. I'm assuming he's Black because of his name. Go ahead, Daryl.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can hear you.
Lovely conversation. You're both having a insightful and powerful and moving conversation. And yeah, I would say, you know, part of it is there's a premise that we're supposed to fit into this kind of European concept of man and woman.
Yeah.
And that's a falsehood to begin with. Because that's a premise based on property ownership. That's how European cultures have developed. They want to own things, people, slaves, women. That's how they have it. It's not based on relationship and value, which is what we get to create. So, and there's the trauma. We were broken from that to this kind of property model. And now we expect the man to, you know, I'm a man. Women expect me to bring them property, treat them like property. Control them, and that's what shows up as narcissistic and self-serving.
That's a good one right there, guys. Because it is true. It is so true. Yeah. So what he just said, y'all, so the people who can't hear the conversation, is that we exist in this European culture who has indoctrinated European culture that has trained us in taught us really that people should be owned, and it's more about owning and controlling than valuing in a relationship. So our men are giving this framework of being, and women are saying, yeah, you're supposed to own and control, and then it actualizes as narcissism, right? Because in this context, men really do get to have, in patriarchy and a misogynist society, get to have their cake and eat it too. And when we say no, you actually cannot, but the world around them is saying yes, you can, as long as you're the provider, as long long as you take care of everything, as long. And then when they cannot fulfill those this, and that, the only way they get validation in their minds, whether we agree or not, is jumping in these inboxes, mm-hmm. right? When they're bored, mm-hmm. when they feel intimidated, when you don't act right, well, she gonna leave me anyway, mm-hmm. type of thing. Go ahead, Derek. Oh, you got something else?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's not based on self-realization and actualization. So right. what starts to happen is that it becomes shallow. Whereas yes. if you go back to the late 60s and even the early 70s, you'll see that Black people especially started to evolve. We listen to the songs. Listen to where we're going. Keep your head to the sky. You know, I write a song for you. Yeah. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
So there's a self-actualization we're about. That's yeah. relationship. Relationship is not property ownership.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that's what people are missing.
Oh, my God. So when you say that, that reminds me of poly and open relationships, too, because a lot of times, even as women, we want to own our partners. We want to control them, right? I mean, it's not you.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but this
is what you're saying makes so much sense to me because, you know, I'm sorry.
You're good.
I have had these conversations with my significant other.
Yeah.
Right? And it always comes down to a conversation about ownership, and it's usually like, from him to me,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and I'd be like, you know, like you don't own me. I own me. I belong to me.
Yeah,
you know. And then I often tell him, you know, like when he's asking me for all of these like promises about the future, and I'm like, I can't make it. And then even if it's like, if the future doesn't turn into whatever vision he has, I'd be like, what book are you getting these rules from?
Right.
And then also I'm asking him, if it doesn't turn out however your destination is, are you telling me that this time has been wasted instead of like valuing and cherishing the moment and time we have together?
Yeah.
Because who knows how long we're supposed to be in each other's company.
Right.
But can we, if we don't, if it doesn't turn out how you want it to turn out,
right.
is it Hell not, waste. Is it, it, right. I'm like, why can't we cherish our time together?
Yeah, that's a good, I'm so glad y'all said that because I also struggle with that because I actually would love to be in relationship in a way where people are actually free to actualize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to own someone. Like,
no.
I don't want to even be in a mono
it's
relationship.
Stifling because like, my ownership is limited to my...
Yeah. Yeah, so like even, but and that's what you're saying, like in a relationship nowadays through patriarchy, men want to do what, it's like marriage is only for a woman to be with their husband, but also allow space uh-huh. for them to do whatever they want without, mm-hmm. well, as long as I yep. don't disrespect you or violate you. But that's been like that since like the 60s or 70s. And I'm like, look, how about we just agree
right.
to enjoy each other
yes.
and value each other? And if we want to make each other primary, great, let's be primary. Mm-hmm. But you don't have right. to, because then if you jumping in someone's inbox, I'm not offended.
That you can't play me. You can play yourself.
Right, you can play yourself or you can play that person.
Right.
But you can't offend me by jumping into someone's inbox
no.
because I don't own you.
Right. Yeah. And I have no desire to own.
Yes. And
right.
I
want you to be free to do whatever
yes,
you're gonna do in whatever way that feels authentic
but
and natural.
He also says that men can't allow their women to exist like that. Because it's like, well, if I'm gonna be faithful because I need you to be faithful.
Exactly. And so then it's under those conditions. And it's
yes.
like, I can't. So, and that's why I'm like, I can't agree
yep.
to those conditions,
yep.
even if I have no intentions on not being monogamous.
Alex said on Facebook, I think as Black men, we often lack non-intimate physical touch. If you haven't been held
yeah.
since puberty, then you seek out partners yep. just to feel comfort. And that's the piece that we forget. And that's why I mean the joy and tear.
The intimacy.
Yes. Because a lot of the times people I've been with that have jumped in inboxes or reached out to other people wasn't because they had an issue with us. It's because of that. Exactly
yeah.
what Alex said.
Like just platonic affection.
Yeah. Anything. Any attention.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
It's less about the sex, but I think in our society, we make it about the sex. That is huge.
Yeah.
This is a great conversation.
It's important.
Oh my God.
Yes.
DJ, can you join us next Thursday so we can finish this conversation?
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Good, because I think you were bringing some great insights.
Yeah.
Okay, so next Thursday, y'all, we're going to have a part 3 in European standards and framework
yeah.
for relationships and how is it it's driving us all bonkers.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work at all.
It doesn't work because we're not European.
Well, we're not European. I don't even think it's working for them.
You're right. They just like, but they be there, but they like, well, I'm not going to say
well,
anything.
Well, dominance, patriarchy,
right.
control,
their
ownership. They want to
yeah.
own everything. The
yeah.
brick, the mortar.
Including
the
women.
Land, the people. Shoot.
The women, the children,
politics,
the uterus.
The uterus, right?
Okay.
It's true.
They want to own all of
it. It's true. So you guys are listening to the Black Convergence Show, the show hosted by me, Brandi Grayson, based on politics and family. And we just really do a lot here. As you can see, we can go from left to right, 0 to 100. It don't matter. But tune in next Thursday, every Thursday, 7 p.m. on 92.7 FM. And I'm going to have Keena back again if she's available. She's just going to become my co-host. Forget it.
I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, I'm just going to invite her and DJ's going to come back. So that's the end of our show. Until next week, peace, love, and hair grease.
We're not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas!
ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. Democratic primary day in South Carolina. No significant competition for President Biden, who popped into his campaign headquarters in Wilmington.